To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by SoundMind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Yeah, let's do it.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meerth With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you for making your way here for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button if you're not already. You'll get new interviews like this one sent your way every single week. You can grab a Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meerth With, and please do give the series a rating. Leave a review if you feel so inspired. We've had some great guests here recently. Renee Elise Goldsberry, you know her as one of the Skylar sisters on Hamilton. She was also in Girls 5 Eva. Lucy Dacus dropped by. Dean and Britta from Luna were here. Alan Walker, the world-famous Norwegian DJ, Randy Bachman of Bachman Turner Overdrive and the Guess Who, Zara Larsson, the Swedish pop star, Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy and Ted, Shirley Manson of Garbage, Mark Hamill of Star Wars, Finn Wolfhard of Stranger Things, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meerth With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meerth. Today, I get to talk with Rhiann Teasdale of Wet Leg, formed on the Isle of Wights, somehow sounding exactly like that might suggest. Wet Leg is the post-punk dream duo of Rhiann and Hester Chambers, two friends who accidentally became the coolest band in the world while goofing off and writing songs about boredom, dairy products, and sexual malaise. Their 2022 debut was a Mercury Prize-winning blur of deadpan wits, of fuzzy riffs, and millennial ennui, with breakout single Chase Lounge becoming the indie earworm no amount of therapy can erase. They've toured with Harry Styles. They've opened for the Rolling Stones. They have made war cries for everyone who's ever pretended to care at a party. And now they're back to do it again. The second album, their sophomore record, is called Moisturizer, and Rhiann and I are going to talk about the joys and pitfalls of success, the choice to cocoon themselves in a countryside house to shut out the distractions, including no social media. She'll dig into writing as a full five-piece band this time around for the first time, the cathartic evolution of tracks like Chase These Fists and CPR, and how movies like Jennifer's Body helps soundtrack their creative hibernation. She's also going to open up about writing love songs for the first time, exploring queer identity through lyrics, and the importance of building a stage persona to armor up against tour anxiety. All that and more as we talk Moisturizer. It's Kyle Meerth with Rhiann Teasdale of Wet Leg.
Hi, how's it going?
Moisturizer, it's here. It's finally here. I got to see you guys in L.A. on the... I don't know, was that a secret show or it was in the gravel pits outside?
Yeah, by the river. It was cool,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Rocktown.
That was a cool, it was a cool way to see you guys, a cool way to experience the show. It was, I don't know, is it surreal for you all still? Because I imagine, like, you go in, you chisel out these songs they come from nothing, right? The songs come from nothing, and then they're birthed, and then, you know, a few months later, there's everybody on this gravel, like, singing the words back to you.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny how much you're kind of just like, even though we've got this like wealth of experience and we've been touring for like almost like just shy of 3 years, that when you release a new album, you know, you kind of find yourself back to square one of like, oh, like, will people like this song? Will it offend their ears? Like, how are people going to react? You kind of go back to that kind of headspace, which is, yeah, it's funny.
What was the phrase? Like, would it affect their ears?
Yeah.
I don't know that that's anything you all had to worry about, honestly. Like, people were that like into you all, like bought, sold. People were ready for this. And well done, by the way. If I haven't complimented you properly, this album is so good.
You were very proud of it.
So that is the obvious question for any sophomore record, right? Like, I know there's the pressure, yada, yada, yada. But honestly, like, how did you all keep out the noise of all of that as you went into this album?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty easy to block out the noise. All you have to do is just go back home, delete your social media, and life goes on as normal. And when we went into writing the second record, we made the decision to, you know, rent a house together in the countryside where there was no distractions and could just, you know, be very self-indulgent and fully immerse ourselves in writing the record. So yeah, it was quite a good little like cocooning technique.
Did you all write any on the road leading into those sessions? Like, can you work like that?
I don't know. I don't know if we can work like that. We certainly didn't do it this time round, just because, I don't know, we were just accidentally touring for so long and so unexpectedly, that we just kind of wanted to focus on that when we were on the road. But yeah, who knows? Maybe this time around we'll have a less packed schedule. Maybe we can find some time to write whilst we're touring.
I think I'm taking one of your lines out of context. But you said the more money you chuck at something, the worse it is creatively. And that's like, does that speak for like how you wanted to do this new record? Because again, when you have that kind of success the first time around, all the doors open, right? Like, there's temptation.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not really like temptation, because it makes it sound like that would be like some like illicit thing that you're like not supposed to touch. It's just like, it just didn't really appeal, I guess. And yeah, I think like that when I said what you said, I said, I think I was talking also about like the creative, like music videos and stuff. You know, when you have an idea for a music video and then you get other people involved, like, it costs more money. But then also it kind of like your idea gets watered down and people will then kind of like project what they think you are when really like it's only you who knows truly. Otherwise it's just their interpretation of what you said.
Giving your vision up to someone else, almost.
Yeah.
Which has worked for some people, of course, but I mean, there's some great, you know, videos out there, but if you can hold on to that and still, I mean, if you can have control of all of it, why wouldn't you? If you're able to produce it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this. Hey, it's Kyle Meredith. Are you ready to lose weight? With Effecty, getting access to powerful, personalized GLP-1 weight loss medications has never been easier or more affordable. These medications work by regulating appetite and blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable, science-backed way. And getting started is simple. Fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No hassle, no waiting rooms. With transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required, Effecty is committed to making proven weight loss treatments accessible to everyone. And no matter where you live, Effecty makes it easy to access GLP-1 treatments. The entire process is online and remote, so you can start your weight loss journey from the comfort of your home without the hassle of commuting or long wait times. Whether you're in a major city or a small town, you can access top-tier care from licensed professionals at your convenience. So, are you ready to level up your weight loss game? Right now, my listeners can get $50 off GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code KMW at checkout. That's Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com, and use the code KMW to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatments. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. So what are you waiting for? Get started today.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, tools, home essentials, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online now through July 18th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Regan Teasdale of Wet Leg.
Because there's some writing credits on here that's all five of you now. Like, how did the band dynamics change then? Like, you're in the studio and everybody gets their say, and obviously you've built this little family on the road. But, like, was it really noticeable while you're writing the songs? Like, hey, this is different than the last time?
Yeah, of course, because the first record was written very much like on the back end of lockdown. So a lot of it just came out of, you know, garage band bedroom demos made by one person. And so it was really, it was just the most natural thing that we would write the second record together. And I think for a long time we've known that, you know, we wanted to try doing it the kind of like traditional way that like you read about in like music magazines and stuff, of like, oh, like, you know, we went away and we shut the world out and we all just jammed. It's like, you know, that's always like such a romantic, well, like romanticized version of like writing, how to write music. But you know, I think it works, especially if your incentive is to play songs that are gonna, you know, feel good to play live, and that was always very important to us.
It's interesting, I guess, in the context of what we were just talking about, like offering your vision up to somebody else on the music videos, but this is a different version of that in a way, because what Wet Leg started as you were saying, you know, and this kind of solitary thing, to now sharing that vision.
Mm.
I mean, it's obviously it works, obviously, but it might not have, I guess, is what I'm getting at. Like, you were still able to kind of, you had that trust. You were able to take that, I don't know, maybe you just weren't precious with that part of it.
I think, like, going back to what you said at the very beginning about, you know, like, making a song is like you just make something out of nothing. So no, you're all just, like, out there, like, casting your net, seeing what you're going to reel in. So it's not, there's not really, like, any, like, discussion that, like, really needs to be had. Like, if something's off for like one or two people, then it won't be a vibe, and then the idea won't get any further than being an idea. I think, you know, whilst we have like very like broad and vast tastes between the five of us, you know, if we enjoy playing it, you can like feel that in the room.
There's I think when I was talking about the credits having all five people on it, one of those, I think it was, maybe it's the only one with Jennifer's Body, where it's all five of you get the credit on that one, which I don't know if that, because I've heard you talk a little bit about that movie before, but I've also heard you talk about like, here you all are living together in this house to make this record, and there's the nighttime movies. Like, is this one of those nighttime movies?
Yeah. Yeah, we watched like all of the Aliens. Then we went on to Alien versus Predator and then gave up because it gets quite bad. we watched Braveheart, like six times, but never did anyone actually see the full film. But yeah, Jennifer's Body was on the list of things that we ingested.
They're gonna make a sequel to that. Well, they're trying to make a sequel to that. Have you heard
Oh,
that?
really? No, I haven't heard that.
Yeah. Like everybody's in. I don't think it's started yet. I don't even know if there's a script yet, but everybody's in. I'm really hopeful of that.
Okay, I'm gonna go away and Google this right after I get off this call.
Yeah. It's Amanda Seyfried. Did I say her name? Yeah. She was talking about it recently. I'm like, hey, it's happening. Yeah. I'm in. I love the movie. I too. And just hearing about how you talked about how it's sort of changed for you, like how you saw the movie in the past versus kind of how you see it now. And I guess that's actually a really good way to talk about the lyrics on here too, because those first two songs, like we hear a narrator in love in different versions of it. And you've also talked about kind of coming at it from a queer perspective. Like, how does that change how you write? I mean, is it obvious while you're doing it? Is it more in hindsight?
Yeah, I think it's really I've never really like had the inclination to write a love song before. I think like, I've always just thought, like the world is like saturated with love songs. There's so many love songs. Why would we need another? But like music being the self-indulgent beast that it is, I found myself in love and I found myself, in a relationship with my partner who's gender non-conforming, for the first time in a queer relationship. And that was just, I think I just like from a very like self-indulgent point of view, just like needed to write about, being like this deeply in love and also like just, I don't know, I guess like at the same time, I probably was like exploring my queerness a little bit like through the writing. But mainly they're just love songs. Like love is universal. Anyone can kind of, relate.
But that you do a really good job of just twisting all of that up. I mean, the newest single, I'm forgetting the line, but you're basically like love or suicide, in this whole thing. And like it's such a great way to come around.
Yeah, I was really dragging my heels when I was falling in love. It's like, no, scary.
Like the album's not just about that. You've got layers in this, but it really is funny. If you think about it in a linear sense of those first two songs, then going into Catch These Fists, because I mean, the I don't want your love, I just want to fight. It's like coming out of those two to hear that line. It's a really, I mean,
Yeah.
it's almost like its own punch in itself,
Yeah. That I don't want your love, I guess it certainly is addressing a very different type of person to the person that I am in love with.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Regan Teasdale of Wet Leg.
But when you get those lyrics like that, man down, level up, which by the way, my wife is now saying all the time around the house, we love that song so much. But like, do you ever, like I've seen you on stage and you do the arms thing and everything. Like, are you embodying a character? Is that something you need to do? Some artists find that helpful on stage to kind of use in the even in their mind a character.
Yeah, I think something that I've learned from touring so much, touring the first album, is that, this really is like the best job in the world. But some days I will just like, I'll wake up and I'll be PMSing and I'll be anxious as fuck and I won't want to get on stage, because it can be really frightening. As well as it can be like the best thing in the world. It's like the highs are really high and the lows are very low. And so yeah, I think it is like important for me to kind of like with this album and the touring, I did wanna kind of like create this kind of like hardened shell, like maybe like yeah, perhaps in Yeah, I don't know. Just like when you go into work and you're working at a cafe, you might be in the worst mood ever. But then, like, I would like when I was working at a cafe, I would always just like click into this like, hello, how are you doing? What can I get for you? Like, you just go into this like cheery like character because that is, you know, that's who you are at work. And so I think, you know, that does relate to being a performer and being on stage. It is transferable to that.
Just flip the switch.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch. As a fan, it's fun to watch. I don't know. I like the whole experience. I always point to this, you know, having these guys over my shoulder. I mean, they were Bowie, Prince, you know, they were so good at that. And especially just those multi-layers, you know, and as a fan, it just gives us more to, you know, get into.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, like, you are like artists, we are entertainers. So you might as well do something fun.
Why not? It's such a good record, and I could go through every track. I mean, Pokemon and 1121 and Davina McCall and on. It's, you know, when you fall for a band and you're so hopeful that the next record is going to make you have that feeling again, and it doesn't always, and you all did that, and I, you know, just congratulations, and I can't wait to see how these songs grow on that stage and to see you guys again down the road.
Hell yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
My thanks to Rian. Wet Leg, the sophomore album, is called Moisturizer. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. You'll get new interviews just like this one every single week. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org. Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. And after that, you can head over to WFPK.org. So I do a show Monday through Friday, starting 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from the Beach Boys, They Might Be Giants, Royal Otis, Baby Charles, St. Vincent, Olivia Rodrigo, Modest Mouse, Counting Crows, Queens of the Stone Age, Pavement, Sheryl Crow, Hannah Jadagu, The Fix, and my interview with Colin Greenwood of Radiohead. That's what you can hear weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
I've been doing a few interviews and it's been okay, so I think we should be all right.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.